This is the Hoosier Ag Today Monday podcast. I'm Andy Eubank on the 24th of February, 2025. And the HAT podcast is made possible by First Farmers Bank and Trust, proudly serving local farms, families, and agribusiness for 140 years. Visit them online at ffbt.com to learn more. C.J. Miller has the news today, including the Indiana protocol for dealing with bird flu in the state, as detailed by the new state veterinarian, and what might the impact of tariffs be on the farm machinery industry. Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin says mild air continues, plenty of sunshine today too, and the Friday ag markets were mixed, higher wheat but lower corn and beans. We have analysis with Brian Basting on the Hoosier Ag Today Monday podcast.
At First Farmers, we know that farming takes grit. From unpredictable weather to market fluctuations, our farmers face challenges. Since 1885, we've watched them weather those challenges without fail. That's why we're proud to help power farmers with financial products, services, and expertise built around the seasonal nature of agriculture that lets them continue powering our local communities. Is it time to expand your operation? Visit us at ffbt.com or stop by a local branch to get started. First Farmers Bank and Trust, Equal Opportunity Lender, member FDIC.
Responding to the misinformation about the bird flu virus on social media, and farm equipment manufacturers expressing their concerns about Trump's tariffs, I'm C.J. Miller, and this is Hoosier Ag Today. Well, more than a dozen major commercial poultry production facilities all across Indiana have been hit with bird flu since the beginning of the year. Not only are state health officials trying to battle the virus, but they're also trying to battle the mountain of misinformation that's being spread on social media.
That's the challenge that we are up against. For the poultry producers across our state, this is a very true reality.
And that's Dr. Kyle Shipman, state veterinarian with the Indiana State Board of Animal Health. He explains the reasons behind the current protocol for depopulating entire flocks of birds whenever there's a positive test for the virus.
And ultimately, that's twofold: to prevent disease spread, as well as to ensure that the animals aren't suffering from this virus. This virus kills these birds rapidly, and it's not a good death. And so we want to work with the producer in these very trying times to make sure that we can decrease the amount of virus that is being produced by removing flocks off the landscape that have been detected with this virus.
Regarding reports of drone sightings over poultry farms hit with the virus, Shipman says those drones are likely independent operators who are otherwise not using those drones to intentionally spread the virus.
I do think we likely had an increased interest in those cases that were in that East Central Indiana, and we had folks that wanted to get a firsthand look via drone. I do encourage folks to recognize that this is an incredibly tough time for those poultry producers that are impacted, and please give them that space when possible so that they can focus on the response efforts to get their farm back into business in a timely manner.
Most of all, Shipman stresses that eggs, poultry products, and pasteurized milk are all still safe for you and your family.
Pasteurization is effective at inactivating this virus. Similarly, if the raw milk was to have influenza virus in it, it can pose a risk to our pets, specifically cats, but both dogs and cats. So we're just encouraging folks to refrain from feeding raw milk to their pets even now, because it can pose a safety risk to their animals.
Check out my full conversation with Dr. Kyle Shipman. It's at HoosierAgToday.com and the Hoosier Ag Today mobile app. Well, you've been hearing a lot about President Trump, his trade tactics, and tariffs. That's why several ag leaders are concerned not only about Trump's tariffs, but also that retaliatory tariffs could cause the price for ag products, including farm machinery, to spike much higher.
Obviously, what the new administration brings in some excitement and brings in some opportunities and also brings in some challenges. And tariffs is certainly one of those where we have a disagreement with the administration.
And that's Kurt Blades with the Association of Equipment Manufacturers.
Previously, when we've talked about tariffs during the previous Trump administration and the tariffs that were on steel and aluminum, we came out pretty strong saying that this is not as simple as you might think. It's a tool that we can use to raise bring some challenges in. But steel aluminum, I mean, it takes three things to make a tractor. It takes labor, transportation, and steel.
He says the prices paid for all of the added tariffs will just be passed along to both the producer and the consumer.
Steel prices go up by 30%. It just kind of goes without saying that the prices has a ripple effect. And it's not as simple as wanting to buy only U.S.-made steel. It's a global market. So those tariffs do have a ripple effect.
Read more at HoosierAgToday.com. I'm C.J. Miller, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
At Farm Credit Mid-America, we do more than lend. We lift up our rural communities that we serve, too. From our day-to-day business of supporting farmers to our community investment efforts and scholarships for students, we help local rural communities find their next level. Visit fcma.com/community to learn more about our commitment to communities. Farm Credit Mid-America is an equal opportunity lender.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. Got plenty of mild air pushing up over the Hoosier State today. Doing so with a decent amount of sunshine as well. Partly to mostly sunny skies, maybe a little bit of haze, and even a bit of early morning fog, because this warm air is coming over a very cold and, in some cases, a lot of cases even, mostly snow-covered surface. So that's going to put a little more moisture in the atmosphere, but still, very nice day through the day today. I do think clouds increase overnight tonight, and we'll probably deal with a few hit-and-miss spits or sprinkles tomorrow. But if not that, just clouds off and on as temperatures remain mild, maybe a few degrees cooler tomorrow than today. Going into midweek on Wednesday, we've got an area of low pressure coming out of the upper Midwest, trying to work through, well, Wisconsin, the Great Lakes, even the eastern Corn Belt. Not a lot of moisture with it, but I think we have to allow for on again, off again light rain showers. I'm going to say anywhere from a few hundreds to maybe 3 or 4 tenths. Coverage will end up being about 60% of Indiana. As we move toward Thursday morning sunrise, that's where we could see slightly higher rain totals down in southern Indiana. But again, this front, not super impressive on moisture. It does, though, bring some cooler temperatures to finish the week. Thursday and Friday, we are cooler. See a little bit of moisture coming across the Great Lakes. I'll say maybe rain or a bit of wet snow. I think mostly rain for Thursday late afternoon. Friday into Saturday, we are still dealing with cool temperatures to finish the week and weekend. Most moisture wants to stay a little farther north across Michigan and into parts of Ohio, New York, so on and so forth. The cool air does not break here until we get into next week. Strong warm air advention for Monday, and that comes in front of a significant round of rain and thunderstorm activity for Tuesday and early Wednesday. I think we're looking at rain totals next week anywhere from 1/4 to 1.5 inches. Coverage 100% of the Hoosier State. That front does usher cold air in behind it, so cooler to finish the week next Thursday, Friday, and into Saturday. Could see a little bit of snow trying to come in Saturday the 8th into Sunday the 9th before another round of mild air pushes in for the following week. So riding the roller coaster, but definitely getting warmer here in the weeks ahead. I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin.
Mixed markets to wrap up a volatile, choppy week. This is Hoosier Ag Today. I'm Andy Eubank with the Friday Farm Market Review. Final numbers coming up. We'll begin, though, with market analysis. In the middle of the trading session, I checked in with Brian Basting for that. Brian is with Advanced Trading. As we head into the weekend, corn and soybeans retreating a little bit, and Chicago wheat is on the plus side, a very strong dollar index on the final day of a shortened week of trade. Brian, first the sell-off in corn and beans after a choppy week of trade. What do you make of the lower move?
Yeah, thanks for having me, Andy. It really feels like the crop size in Argentina for corn is finally stabilized. They had quite a bit of hot, dry weather there in January. USDA did trim the Argentina crop estimate 1 million tons here in February. They might trim it a little more in March, but it certainly feels like it's stabilizing. Same for the soybean crop there in Argentina, a critical month here from mid-February, extending the double crop beans all the way into mid-March. But the rainfall has become more widespread. There is one more heat wave here that's going on as we speak, the last into the final days of February. But after that, it looks like it's going to be the first half of March, or at least the first 10 days of March, cooler and wetter. So that weather has changed down there, stabilized just enough to give us some profit taking on corn. We saw a close above $5 in March corn futures, Andy, this week. for the first time for nearby corn futures contracts since October of 2023. So really a stout rally we've seen in corn. Probably just some profit taking, the risk off ahead of another weekend here, and just enough to cool the market off a little bit. We'll see what the USDA tells us next week as far as the economic outlook for them. But right now, the corn market seems like it's ready to take a break.
As is the soybean market. The export sales report out on Friday, one day delayed because of President's Day on Monday. And that report was good for corn, soybeans, and wheat, all at the high end of estimates. Didn't seem to matter to the corn and bean markets. Maybe it had an impact, though, on higher wheat.
Yeah, we've seen 3 or 4 weeks now, Andy, of good wheat sales. I think perhaps that the Russian export quota, which began here last week, is maybe catching everyone's buyer's attention, I should say, around the world. They're realizing that volume of wheat that they had been receiving from Russia the first 6-7 months of the crop year obviously is going to be pulled back quite a bit here the last 5 months of the crop year as Russia keeps an eye on its developing crop as well as its domestic prices. So yes, we have seen a little window here of export sales activity for wheat. I think that window is probably going to close relatively rapidly, as you get into March and April, as more of those southern hemisphere crops from Australia and Argentina work their way into the world pipeline. But you summarized that well. All the sales estimates were at the high end of the range. Another really good week for corn export sales. We continue to see corn, the U.S. being the primary shop in town, as it were, for corn around the world. We really won't see another competitor of volume until Argentina harvests their crop this spring, unless Ukraine surprises us. But it seems like the volume of corn being shipped out of Ukraine lately, Andy, is declining for a variety of reasons. Either the crop wasn't quite as big as what the USDA thought last fall. Obviously, the conflict is still full bore with Russia. But regardless, we can track some of those numbers, and they're not as robust as they were earlier. And so I think the next 3 or 4 months, with Brazil supplies virtually exhausted from last year's crop, that the U.S. is really well positioned. And we did see finally a good week of bean sales, just maybe a little bit of a small window here between the time that the Brazilian crop is harvested and it starts to work its way into the pipeline. But that Brazilian crop is certainly going to take over the world export market as we get into spring this year.
I would like for you to touch a little on the upcoming meeting, the annual USDA Ag Outlook Forum in Washington, D.C. this coming week, and that's something I'm sure you, among others, will pay quite a bit of attention to. Why?
It is the first, or I should say the most recent update of the USDA's gauge, Andy, for acreage for 2025. The Outlook Forum will be held next Thursday and Friday, the 27th and the 28th, and will be closely followed by the industry. Now, I'd remind your listeners, this is not a survey-based number. They have not gone out and actually surveyed producers for their acreage intentions. That will be the first 2 weeks in March, and that will be revealed with that March 31st prospective planning report. But what the Outlook Forum does is give the latest models, if you will, economic modeling of acreage mix for the U.S. for 2025 here. And I'd remind your listeners, Andy, that we're looking at probably some significant increases throughout the country in corn acres here in 2025. Some estimates have ranged from 94, 95 million acres. Last year was 90.6. This is planted. It will be interesting to see what the USDA tells us then. And one thing I'd remind your listeners, Andy, is that we saw December corn futures this week go nearly to $4.80 a bushel, $4.80 for December 25 corn futures. That's the highest price for December corn since last June. So just to remind your listeners here that there's some opportunities maybe surfacing for new crop corn here, particularly compared to expectations 2-3 months ago. Flexibility is the key that I would encourage your listeners to consider when they're looking at marketing strategies there, because obviously we haven't even turned a wheel yet in getting this crop in the ground, but it certainly presented some more attractive pricing opportunities than were available even as recently as 6-8 weeks ago. So just something to file away here, but I think the market is going to be watching the acreage numbers closely on Thursday and Friday, Andy. They'll also look at what the USDA's usage numbers will be, things like Chinese imports, of that nature, what's going on in the Black Sea. USDA will give us some hints there, too. But it's something the industry does keep an eye on closer as the years go by.
Market commentary from economist Brian Basting of Advanced Trading. Brian's number 309-664-2314. More numbers now. The Friday settlements. March corn 491.25, down 6.75. May dips 7.75, 505. July 509.5, 7.25 down. 6 cents lower. March beans 1039.5. May 1050, 7.25 down a nickel and 3/4, and July goes to 1073, down almost a nickel. 4.5 cents higher on the March wheat, 590. May 604, up 3.75. And April live cattle, 193.95, a 15-cent gain, but April lean hogs an 85-cent loss, going to 87.67. I'm Andy Eubank with the Friday Farm Market Review. This is Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's most listened to farm network.